We're going to close this morning's program in Edmonton, where drama is making a difference in the lives of some young offenders. Diane Conrad is an assistant professor of drama at the University of Alberta. She uses her expertise in drama to work in a young offenders institution. Diane works specifically with First Nations youth who are serving time there, and this work has won Diane the prestigious Aurora Prize. The award recognizes research stars, and Diane specifically for, and I quote, her vision in the transformative potential of drama in the education of incarcerated youth. Diane Conrad joined me in Edmonton late last week.
Good morning.
And congratulations on the prize.
Thank you very much.
What did it mean to you?
Well, it's great to have my work recognized nationally, and so that's a big bonus.
Tell me, first of all, a little bit about your own background and what drama did for you as a teenager.
Drama in high school myself, and for me it was really a place that I fit in, that I found where I belonged. So it was really important, a way for me to connect with school and with the people there and everything.
And you went on to teach.
I did, yep.
How come not the stage itself?
For me, I think drama is more of a teaching and learning tool as opposed to, you know, a profession, so to speak. I'm not really interested in training youth for to become actors. I'm more interested in the power that drama can have for helping them learn things.
And what do you think that power is at its core?
I'm discovering more and more as I get more into this process. It's really about taking on roles and seeing yourself in other roles, and around identity formation and development, and this ability to sort of be inside a role and then look at yourself from outside as well. That's really a powerful little moment that drama creates for people.
And what does it do to people who necessarily have had some kind of difficulty with authority, with figures of authority, or and dealing with their own powerlessness?
Well, it helps them see themselves differently, I think, or otherwise, like in various capacities, various roles. Drama as a sort of method of learning has amazing potential, I think, you know, on various levels. And I think the aspect of taking on roles in drama in and of itself is really powerful, because you can sort of step into someone else's shoes and to see something from their perspective, and also to see yourself as something other than you, maybe you've been labeled or seen yourself or how others see you. And so especially for these young offenders who have been labeled, you know, criminals in our society, it's a chance for them to sort of reshape their identities, to see themselves as different than criminal or deviant, or however we tend to label that.
Our producer in Edmonton, Jim McQuarrie, came out to meet you as you were working with a group of young men. And in one exercise, you asked a young man to identify with photographs from magazines. We've got a little bit of sound from that. Let's play it.
So I'll remind you what the picture, his picture was. It was of an Aboriginal man with like long braids and very prestigious looking, leaning against a fence with a lot of horses in the background.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the horse whisperer, so now I have to talk about it. The story goes that I was a horse whisperer. I just talked to animals, not horses. And the horses, there's a horse that got hit by a samurai, or some vehicle. Got hurt, and then it wouldn't let anybody ride him. Wouldn't do the things he used to do because he was scared. And then they came to me, and I talked to the horse. The horse was needed some healing, so I talked to the horse. The horse was fine, and they asked me how I did it, and I said, I don't know, I talked to the horse. And then it was a gift.
Diane, how did choosing and identifying with a picture in a magazine help?
This was this day that Jim came in to record was the culmination of a 2-month project that we did around these magazine images. So we had a number of images of males, you know, various sort of cultural backgrounds, engaged in various activities for the boys to choose from. And so they each selected an image of a man that they might like to, you know, try on their role for this exercise. And so, and then we had them sort of develop the character and sort of critical events in the man's life and decisions that the person had made and you know, the life story of this individual. And actually we ended up devising, you know, three different possible endings for the person's life story.
And that's a real challenge to the imagination, too.
For sure, yep. And they have to, yeah, imagine themselves as this person and what are the possibilities in life. And I think it gives them a sense of that there are choices and every decision that you make will lead somewhere and leads to another, you know, decision along the way.
What was it like for you walking in the first day and getting your program going?
Yeah, I mean, prison environments are quite constraining and, you know, lots of doors to go through and lots of protocols. And actually, it wasn't easy to get permission to work in the center. There are a lot of concerns, and rightfully so, about the well-being of these kids. And drama can be risky. It can raise some risky issues sometimes. And so there was a lot of precautions that had to be put in place before they felt comfortable. You know, the administration there felt comfortable allowing me to do this work.
What about your own comfort?
Well, I'm really committed to working with, you know, at-risk, high-risk youth. And, yeah, it's not really about me.
Yeah, I'm just trying to walk a mile in your shoes here. How did they react to you the first time?
We started with some smaller term projects. And I mean, because we offer something that's different, you know, it's the only drama program offered in the place. And it's, you know, a chance to have some fun. We do a lot of playing and a lot of laughing. And you know, they were very willing and very happy to participate with us almost right from the start. Because we were offering them something.
Because you were offering them art.
Yeah. Definitely. And a chance to, you know, express themselves and to interact with each other and to be creative. That's all really important.
I want to play you the sound of the ceremony that occurs at the end of your visit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're right now, they're just smudging themselves, smudging their heart, their eyes, their body. Anybody else going to join?
As the smoke rises over space.
Okay, I pray for everybody in the circle, for the family, friends, enemies, for everybody in the center. I pray that everybody has a good day, and for the people that came in today, and
all the homeless people,
and all the homeless people out there that are getting harassed now. Pray and pray for everybody. Natali nan semani to uchi nan mena kwame nan anochka kiska nian duasim sak nape wak nape sisak iskwe wak iskwe sisak iskwe kar. Muito graças, Nino Walker, da ASCII, do Minas.
Hi.
Diane, what does that ceremony mean, and mean to you?
Yeah, we're working, actually we were invited to work with a woman who works at the Young Offender Center. She runs the Native program there. And she invited us to come and work with her as part of her program. And the space that she's developed there for the kids is really, really important to them. And we were just talking about this yesterday, actually, how they really get a sense of belonging and a sense of connection from being part of this program. And so that smudge ceremony is a part of the ritual that ends each of her sessions. And I think, you know, it's really significant that it's the boys who lead that. It's not, you know, imposed on them or anything, and it's they really connect with their culture in that way as well.
Diane, thanks very much for taking us there.
Thank you.
Diane Conrad, in a conversation I had with her last week, she's an assistant professor of drama at the University of Alberta in Edmonton and the winner of the Aurora Prize.